Okay, disclaimer, there might be tears today. It's okay. These are one of those Sundays we are allowed to cry a little. It's actually going to be encouraged, actually. But yeah, it is a massive privilege for me. And I'm quite excited because I get to primarily preach to Lucas and Annie and Joey and Donna. And I know that they are both very easy to preach to because they're encouragers. So actually, I don't care what you think. No, I'm joking. And today I want to address both of you in certain things, and then I would love to address the congregation in facets where actually both of these couples are modeling something incredible to us in their journey with Jesus and what they're doing and how they're stepping out and how they're walking in faith. And so this morning what I want to talk about to us, I want to preach and take a little bit of time to just look at this, what is real faith, and I want to look at the prototype of faith. And I want to show you, there is a man in the Bible who we are, the word is used, he's the father of our faith. He's a guy named Abraham, and we're told to look at his life. It's told to, as Abraham had faith, so we need to have faith. And it's his faith was counted as righteousness. And so he is a prototype. And so let me give you an example of a prototype. Maybe you could put the first image up for me. I have three little pictures I wanted to show you of prototypes. That right there is the great-great-grandfather of what you are, what you arrived at church in this morning. That is the Ford Model T, and this car was invented in 1908. This was the first car that went into mass production, and this was the prototype for the automobile, for the car. And you'll notice that although some things have changed slightly, I mean, it's pretty much the same, right? The fundamentals remain the same. Four wheels, drives on a road, meant to take people where they need to be. But this is a prototype. Every other car that came after this car is the example of what a car should be. Okay? Even if it's electric, it's still got wheels. Until we're flying, this remains the prototype. Can you show the next image for me? Yes, who remembers those bad boys? So that thing in your pocket and that consumes your life right now, that was the prototype. That was the first cell phone. Also, you won't believe how quickly cell phones have come along. That arrived in 1983. That is the first portable phone, cellular phone. And you'll notice it's quite different to what you have right now. They do slightly different things. And if you could put the last image up for me. This is what I've got today. It's a Mac. That is called Lisa. It was the first personal computer sold to the public. Do you know how much that would have cost you now today if you bought one? 600,000 rand. So you think Apple products are getting more expensive? Nope, they're actually getting cheaper. That's what it would cost equivalent today if you had to buy it at that time, 600,000 rand. But the prototype, the first computer sold to people, and there's a strong chance your watch can do more than that could. And so all of these are an example. This is a prototype. Everything that came after it is based on what this was meant to accomplish. And so in our Bible, when you read about Abraham, the father of our faith, it's using the same type of language. He's saying, Abraham is the prototype of faith. Look at his life, and everything that comes after him is meant to accomplish the same thing that he set out to accomplish. Is that okay? And so our faith is not just our ability to... No, but I want to talk about like what is real faith? Because the Bible says Abraham's faith was counted towards him as righteousness, salvation. And so even as these two couples embark on this next stage of their life, there is faith that is required to do this. And as you guys, as we continue to follow Jesus in our every single day, it is a part of your journey of faith. And the prototype for how you ought to live as a believer is Abraham. Okay, so I want to take a little bit of time. I'm just going to explain his life, explain what it looked like for him, and I want to show you how he completely messed it up at times. Because the false assumption is that the journey of faith is this perfect walk. That as long as I get everything right all the time, then I'm living in faith. No, because faith is not by works. Okay? So let's look at that. Hopefully that like whets your appetite and you're like, okay, I can do this. So if we can go to the first scripture, it's Genesis 15, verse 6. And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Not because, this is right in the moment where he has done not much. The Lord appears to him and says, Abraham, he's 75. Quick question. Who would like to, at 75, leave everything and go reboot yourself and start again? I don't know many. Margaret's like, I'll try. I don't know many. And so Romans 4 verse 1, 2, 3. Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our, Paul's talking about the Jews, our Jewish nation. But what did he discover about being made right with God? Because this is so much more than like faith for God to do something. This is talking about faith that saves us. Faith that puts us in the camp of being a Christian. Because I think this thing is so, nowadays, like, oh, you know, put your hand up, say a prayer, welcome to the brotherhood, get your golden ticket, enjoy your life, we'll see you at the end. No. The prototype of faith is that Abraham believed God and he lived a certain way, and based on the way that he believed what God said, it was counted to him as righteousness. It's incredible. And so this journey that you guys embark on, as you follow the Lord in faith, in a response to what he's telling you, it's not just faith for another season. This is the faith that actually puts us in the family of being Christians. Our faith looks like something. Our faith is more than what we believe. Because believe it or not, I think I've used this example here before, I believe that junk food is bad for you. I believe that sugar is the devil. I believe that unhealthy food is the absolute worst thing for you. And this week I ate a chocolate croissant every day in the lunch break. But I believe it's wrong, and my shoulder pain told me that I shouldn't have done it, and I deeply regretted doing it, but I believe it's bad for me, but I still do it. See, faith is so much more than that. Because even the demons believe. Faith is the external outworking of what you believe. So when the Lord speaks to you and says, Lucas, Annie, I want you to sell everything. And I want you to relocate your life, your children, your everything. And I want you to go to America and start again. And give up the quality of life and the friendship and all you've done to obey him, that is faith. It's not Lucas going, I believe God's called us. No, it's actually getting on the plane and going. For Joey and Donna, to walk into what the Lord has for you, to step into leading this congregation, it's not saying, I believe I could do it. It's the faith of actually going, okay, God, I'll do it. I'll sit in the chair. You see, as a Christian, this faith is the evidence of real faith when you actually do the things that you believe. Is that okay? Andrew used this example. It's two sides of the same coin. If faith is the coin, he used repentance as an example. The one is, man, we are saved by faith alone. It's the fact that I believe. But on the other side of the coin is that if I am saved, if I do have faith in him, then my life looks a certain way. And if it doesn't, you can't claim it. This is a bigger deal than like, hey, would you consider doing what God said? Because what if he says no? What if Abraham said no? What would have been counted as righteousness for him? What about when the Lord has asked you to do things? When the Lord has spoken? What is the faith response in your heart? I'm not making friends, but I'm trying. It's the internal lived out. The Holy Spirit inside, fruit of the Spirit outside. Saved and given a new nature, new lifestyle. Not, hey, you need a new lifestyle. You need to do certain things. You need to come to the front. You need to lift your hands. You need to jump up and down. Do you know what you should never have to tell a Christian to do? Worship. It's what you were made for. It's the very reason you have breath inside of you, is to worship Him. And as a believer, the only difference is you know why you should worship Him. Because He is the Savior and the Redeemer. Because you were on your way to an eternity separated from Him. And you couldn't reconcile yourself to Him. And He is the one who made a way. And He sent His Son. And He died on a cross. And if you believe in Him and live out what you believe, then you will be saved. But that is real faith. It doesn't stop with when you put your hand up and you say, I believe. When we worship, it shows me what you believe. Who you worship is not an indicator of your personality. Who you worship is an indicator of what you worship. I can tell you, I love sport. I love watching rugby. I don't love watching soccer. I love watching people watch soccer. I love watching people watch South Africans and the MMA, or I love watching people watch the World Cup because I can see that it's very different to how they behave on a Sunday morning at times. We won the World Cup. Guys are like, woo. No, no, no. Yeah! What do we worship? Genesis 12, verse 1 to 4. The Lord had said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family. I'm not trying to say Lucas is Abraham today. But there is a strong element of what you're doing is according to the prototype. Leave your family, your friends, your country, and go to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. Hopefully not more children. I will bless you. And I will make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So I love this. God says, do this. This is what I want to do. And Abraham's response afterwards. So Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed. God speaks, he acts. That's what faith looks like. And don't worry, I'm gonna side with you at some point. Because there are times when we are all weak in our faith. There are all times when we don't actually, when it's difficult to follow what God has said. Even Abraham. So don't feel judged just yet. But the response is what God is looking for. How quick does your heart respond to when the Lord speaks? When the Lord speaks, do you and you obey? One of the very difficult parts of this process for me is that I love this man. This family, they are incredible. When I heard Andrew was going to America, I told my wife, Lucas is going to go too. And from the time I heard, every time I saw him, I'd be like, everyone else can go, you stay. If you go, I don't know what I'm going to do because he has been such a good friend to me. And you guys have experienced the same, the way he leads and the way he loves and the way them and the way their family and the way their children love our children and the way Annie has loved the family. They have left a mark in our lives. But I know there's something true about what God's done in him, and that's when the Lord speaks, he listens. And so he's already on his way out. We're trying to process, and he's in a month and a bit. Lucas is going to be on a plane getting the process ready. Because when the Lord speaks, if I have faith, if this is what God has said, then I obey. How many of us don't work like that? The Lord speaks and we go, okay, cool. I wonder what the Bible says about what God said. I wonder what my elder says, what God says. Okay, cool. Which is good. Bounce it off people. Oh, I don't like what he said. I wonder what this elder thinks about what God said. He agreed with him. I don't like that. That deacon, he's had a bad week. Let's go ask that deacon. Oh, he also agrees. Maybe let's wait. Let's park it. Let's wait. God will make it happen. If he wants us to move to America, the continent will slowly be pulled towards the other continent. And then one morning when we drive out of Malkbos, we will, boom, in California. And then we know it was God. Or we want God to just, we want knowledge before we make a decision. Oh, well, you know, for Lucas, that means basically this. And it's not an exaggeration, and he doesn't mind me sharing it like this. It means, Lucas, okay, South Africa, it's been nice and comfortable, and you can live there, and it can be great. Now take everything, divide it by 20, possibly go get a job again to make this work. Oh, well, Lord, you know, maybe, okay, if it's you, give me the right job, make it all happen, sell the house first. No, no, no. The Lord is speaking. Speaking. The Lord has spoken, I'll go. And again, this has been well measured and team and many others and the prophetic, and God has spoken and it's clear. That's why I'm not saying we're not sure if this is God or not. I'm saying when we know God has spoken, how we respond, that is faith. Joey and Donna, same story. I want to tell you that this eldership team, and they know it, this is a lacquer leader to be under. It's amazing. He makes space for you. He includes you. He wants to see you thrive. He wants to see. It is way more comfortable to be on team than to lead. I promise you. Joey can preach his heart out on a Sunday morning when he's leading, and thank God, and that was great. But it's not the same as when he's leading, and you know this. And then the Lord says, okay, Joey, will you lead? His first response, okay. You've instructed, then I'll do it. How do you respond when the Lord speaks to you? Are you willing to follow the prototype, which is faith and instant obedience, not a delayed response? Moving on quickly, sorry. Do you know what the whole purpose of Abraham leaving was? Jesus. The whole purpose behind the nation, the whole purpose behind Israel, the whole purpose was Abraham, I'll make you a nation, I'll send you, I'll do this. But we know in hindsight that the whole purpose was Jesus wanted to bring his son to come and atone for our sin. And the only way that Jesus was going to come was through Abraham and through his nation and through his people. The Lord wants to bring Jesus through your life. That's why he leads you where to go and what to do and where to be. This Abrahamic covenant, this covenant that God made with Abraham, is not, Abraham, go and then you'll be a blessing. I'll bless you. No, no, it's, I'll bless you to be a blessing. I'll bless you and make you famous. We're all like, yes, please. Finally, to bless others. This is something that Lucas and Annie have modeled to me ridiculously. They have never, ever held back when, as the Lord has blessed them, so they've blessed us in every area of our life. You all experience the same thing. The Lord is called and He sends us and we walk this journey with Him, and then on the way He blesses us. And it's not too, it's so often this. I watch people fall in love with the blessing of God and then they stop following Him because of the blessing, and they're just like, okay, let's just keep it here. And he's like, no, you're a conduit. As I bless you, you bless others. I'll bless you, you bless. And you know what? If you stop outflowing, he'll stop blessing. Yeah. And then he just finds the next vessel. He does. I've watched this countless times. If you are faithful to what the Lord has called, I will. And I'm not just, part of it's money, but it's so much more than that. The way of God is that we're the conduit towards one another. I want to give you a few examples, then I want to show you some failures, and then we're done. This is the first thing, Genesis 12, we're not going to go to these. This is just God's promise. Abraham will become a great nation, a great name, and be blessed. Abraham's response, at 75, without children. That's a big disclaimer in case you're wondering. At 75, I will make you a nation. Him and his wife, she's barren, they've got no one. They up and leave immediately. God's promise, Abraham's seed, given promised land by God. God says to him, Abraham, I will give you land. Abraham's response, he builds an altar and worships God immediately. God's promise, Abraham would have numerous descendants and land. Abraham's response, he moves and he builds an altar. Every time God promises, Abraham responds. What do we do when the Lord speaks? What is our immediate response? God's promise, Abraham would have a son and numerous offspring. Abraham's faith response, Abraham believed God. Will always used to have this saying, excuse me for, it's a Will joke so I can get away with it. He used to say, the angel came and he spoke to Abraham and he said, I will give you a son. And then he said, that night when Abraham walked into the tent, he didn't see a 99-year-old lady. He had nations in his eyes. He had stars in his eyes. He wasn't dealing with what was in front of him, which was, we are 99, we are barren, we're not having children. His response was faith. It's a willism, I can't take credit. It's a good one though. How's this? God's promise. God repeated, Abraham will be a father of nations and I will make a covenant with you. Abraham's response, circumcision. Do you want a radical response? That was it. I'm not joking. It's wild. I will make a covenant with you. Then Abraham, okay, cool. This is how we're going to do it. All the men, we're going to get circumcised. Not babies. I just want you to know, if you were ever questioning whether or not your leader had God, had heard God, it would be in that moment that he says, hey guys, I got a wild idea for you. God wants to make us separate to anyone else. He wants us to be set apart. This is what we're going to do. It wasn't common practice. It wasn't what everybody did. Can you imagine? God, you want me to do what? Sorry? 99, they're hearing it's, I'm struggling. What? Can we be worldly and practical for a second? He did that. God said, do this, and he immediately circumcised them, all of them. That's a wild response. That's a faith response. Really? I think most of us would have lost the whole promise right there. Done. Okay, no, Lord, I'm out. You can take somebody else. But let me give you the facts of Abraham's journey. Who made the covenant? Who did the work? You know that Abraham was asleep when God made the covenant. Puts him to sleep. And then God cuts covenant with Abraham. This is the God that we serve. How did Abraham contribute towards the plan of you will have many nations? He takes his servant and he has a child with her who grows up hating the promise of God. This is Abraham, eh? How else? Do you know that in his journey to the promised land, Abraham gets very scared of the kings? He obviously, I mean, maybe Abraham had stars in his eyes, but apparently Sarah was quite the looker at 99 because he's on his journey when they were between 75 and 99. He's on his journey and he goes through a land and the king sees Sarah and she's beautiful. I don't know, maybe. And this is the woman that God has given Abraham And she's going to have a son, and she's going to have a nation, and they're going to have the promise of God, and the Messiah is going to come from her. And he believes it. He gives her away. Twice. This is the father of our faith. Twice. He says, oh, I don't know her. She's my sister. God has to intervene and say, don't you touch that woman. Because he's the one who made a covenant. Because God is faithful to us even when we are unfaithful to him. God says, I'm going to give you a son, I'm going to give you a nation, I'm going to bring the Messiah, and I'm going to give you a land. He gives it away. I'm not even joking. Here is the promised land. Your people will live here. It's going to be like this. It's going to be like that. And when he gives land, he gives away the promised land. This is the father of our faith. Do we all have moments? We're on our journey, we mess it up and we get things wrong. Of course. Will you have moments where you mess this up? Of course, Joey, Donna. Will there be times? Of course. But what will our response be? It's not Abraham's perfection was counted as righteousness. It's the fact that he was willing to get in the fight. It's the fact that he was willing to obey God radically, even when he was going to mess it up. And that's why God chose him to give a covenant. I want a covenant with this man. This is the man. How is our response to the Lord? Coming into land. Romans 4, verse 7 to 11. Romans, just before this, it talks about David and Abraham and how David, the same as Abraham, is a hero of the faith who commits adultery and murder. And it says, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. And I wanted to encourage you guys that there will be times when this thing is not going to be this easy. And maybe today it's hard, but there's moments where it's going to be like, this is so cool, we're getting on the plane, and there's going to be moments where it's like, what have we done? We've given up everything. And in those moments, or when you mess it up, or when you make wrong assumptions, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. Your faith in God is not, it's not your perfection in God that's counted as righteousness. It's your faith in him. Part of our faith is believing that when we make mistakes, that when we get things wrong, he forgives us. He removes it from us and he restores us. For some this morning, this is an opportunity for you in this congregation. Every time there's a leader shift, and I'm probably talking to the back two-thirds of the hall, we sit back and we watch. I'm saying this is an opportunity. Allow God to restore even you in these moments. As Joey and Donna come and they step into what God has in this eldership team and this congregation, would you respond in faith? I'm going to skip down. I'm going to read the last half. You don't have to put it up. It says, circumcision was a sign that Abraham already had faith. It was faith was already there. And that God had already accepted him and declared him righteous, even before he was circumcised. So Abraham is the spiritual father of those who have faith, but have not been circumcised. There's a response to faith that God is looking for in every single one of us. And in you guys as you go, and in you guys as you lead, there's a response in God that he's looking for in us. What will your response be? Real faith looks like this. Real faith comes with risk and loss. You can follow God wholeheartedly with everything in instant obedience, and there will always be risk. And there will always be loss. Real faith is not perfect faith, but faith in a perfect God. Real faith doesn't mean that you are always the faithful, the guy filled with faith, pumped up all the time. No, no, no. It means that you have faith in a perfect God. There's moments when your faith will be weak. For all of us. If you haven't experienced that, you haven't served the Lord. Every one of us have had these moments. Every one of us. Real faith struggles to trust both God's will and timing. Some people think, oh, because I doubted in that moment. No, no, no. Real faith. I'm talking about the real. It does struggle. This is going to be hard for Annie. I know it's going to be very hard for Lucas, but I know that this timing thing, as a church, you can really help. Because this is going to be a difficult transition. I'm not prophesying. There's going to be separation. There's going to be time when Lucas is overseas and Annie's here and the kids and them. They're a tight family and they love to be together and there's going to be pressures and the kids. This is not going to be easy all the time. But that doesn't mean you don't have real faith because your response is to obey. Real faith has and always been in Jesus Christ. We look forward, we don't look back. Real faith results in obedience. Real faith grows as God proves faithful. This is what starts to happen. It's like he starts to open a door and then two random Americans pop out from the list. Sorry, random Americans, you're amazing. Two Americans rock up that's on the list that we made with God all these years ago. And as God is proving faithful to what he said, so I'm actually starting to be filled with faith. And Joey and Don are the same. Joey independently has started to feel like the Lord putting something inside him. Like, I feel like I know that God's called me to lead, actually. And not in a grasping way. I want to tell you, I served on team with Joey before we planted. And I'm close to Joey and I see a lot of Joey. This man did not grab at this at all. At all. Up until the moment that Andrew was coming to tell him that he's leading, he didn't think it was him. Even when somebody spilled the beans and let him know beforehand and said, hey, Joey, congrats. He was like, huh? Congrats on what? Because there is an element that I've seen in Joey where he has trusted the Lord. And you've done well, both of you. Really. The way that you guys have served and given yourself on this team has been incredible. For this congregation, the way this couple are going to, I've seen what God has done in Joey's life. And just as obvious as it's been in the prophetic that Lucas and Annie are to go, I want you to know we sat down, we had a meeting. There was a whole group of us, the governing, well, whatever there is, the team, ops team of elders. And we were wrestling and debating with this thing about what is the Lord saying? And not saying who's our best option, what's the best availability, just like what is God saying for this congregation, for you? Because you are entrusted to us, this eldership team. And we heard the Lord. And then we spoke to the eldership team, and this eldership team were like, yes, this is God. And there has been this established by witnesses. And then Andrew asked outside of Josh Jen, and it's a yes. And in the same way, in the same as there has been this clear, they are to go, there is a clear, the Lord said, you are to lead. And even as we ordain you guys today, we're not making something happening. We're aligning with what God wants to happen. And real faith sees beyond this life, beyond these 80 years, 90 years. For Lucas and Annie, you going to America, it's not even about the next 50 churches. This is about eternity. For Joe and Donna, for you guys as a congregation, this is about eternity. I give everything because I live for that day. I don't live for this day. Last scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 8 to 10. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him. He went without knowing. And even when he reached the land, God promised him he lived there by faith. Because actually he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so were his children, Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations. A city designed and built by God. And so as much as this morning is a very practical leadership shift for you guys in this congregation, in Sunningdale 11 a.m., it's a very practical, we're going to pray for Lucas and Annie and the family, and we want to send them. It's also very practical that we want to ordain Joey and Donna to lead and for an anointing, a different anointing. Every team has a leader. It's still the elders, plural, but within the elders, there is an angelos, there is a messenger, there is somebody who carries up the responsibility. And we want to acknowledge that, and we want to pray for them before God and before all of you guys, because you need to give your hearts. You need to see what the Lord is doing and be a part of that.